to the book of Galatians chapter 2 and also the book of Philippians chapter 1. Read two very familiar verses. Galatians 2, we like to read verse 20. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In both of these verses, one written to the churches of Galatia, one written to the church at Philippi, Paul speaks of living his life. In Galatians 2, notice there in verse 20, he says, I live. And then he goes on to say, the life which I now live. He said in Philippians 1 in verse 21, for me to live. So in both verses, he speaks of life. Life, of course, is existence. It's existence. He also speaks of living. Living, life. Living, of course, has reference to the way in which we conduct our existence. The way we conduct our life has to do with our lifestyle. So in both verses, Paul speaks of living his life. And you'll notice in both verses, he speaks of living his life in relation to Christ. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, we see the first word of the verse, I. Then several words later, we see that word, Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I and Christ. Later on, we see in the same verse, it's Christ in me, who loved me, the who referring back to the Son of God. So it's the Son of God and me, and gave himself for me. And in Philippians 1, verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ. Notice those two words, me and Christ. So in these verses, we see life, we see living that life, we see Paul and Christ. To Paul, living was all about Christ. That's what life was all about. Paul. These two verses were written under two entirely different circumstances. When Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, he was serving the Lord as a free man. And when he wrote to the church at Philippi, he was in prison, not knowing whether he was going to live or be put to death. But in both circumstances, serving the Lord as a free man and also being in prison, not knowing whether he would live or die. In both circumstances, Paul's philosophy about living was the same. My point is, circumstances did not change Paul's philosophy about living. Paul's philosophy about living was still all about Christ, no matter what the circumstances were. We also see that in these two verses, they are written to two entirely different groups of people. Paul wrote the book of Galatians, of course, to the churches of Galatia. And the reason he wrote the book was because of a report that he had received about a sudden and very drastic change in their attitude that had taken place concerning Paul and concerning the gospel. He wrote in Galatians 1 and verse 6, he said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel." He goes on in the book of Galatians, and we see in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" So they had fallen for a false gospel. They had been deceived, and as a result were no longer living in obedience to the truth. In other words, the truth was no longer had a visible effect upon their lives, and as a result they were living foolishly. He said in Galatians 5 and verse 1, "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Because they had been deceived, they were living entangled lives. Now really, as you read the book of Galatians, it's pretty descriptive of the lives that many of God's people live today. And then he wrote the book of Philippians, basically as a thank you note, a thank you letter to the church of Philippi for their faithful support and for their faithful service to the Lord. So he's writing to two entirely different groups of people. But it didn't matter. Paul's philosophy of living, he testified it openly to both groups. For him to live was Christ. So I want to speak tonight on the subject of me and Christ. Because we see that here in Galatians 2 verse 20. I and Christ. We see it again in Philippians 1 verse 21. Me and Christ. I want to consider two things. First of all, Paul's way of life. And then we want to consider what it was that shaped his view of the way he should live his life. But first of all, let's look at Paul's way of life. He speaks of living life in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He again said, "The life which I now live in the flesh." Now, God, of course, is the giver of life. He is also the giver of all things that pertain to living that life. Everyone who is sitting here right now has received the gift of physical life. Every one of us has received the gift of physical life. And every one of us is right now living the life that God has given us. That is, God has given us life, and every one of us are conducting ourselves in a certain way. We are living our life. Life must be lived. When you cease to live, you no longer have life. So it goes without saying that life must be lived. Now, in our text verses, Paul speaks of his own life and the profound effect that Jesus Christ had upon his life. The life that Paul now lived was in contrast to the one that he once lived. Sad to say, but the lives of many who profess to be saved are not much different now than they were before they made their profession of faith. And whenever that is the case, there is a serious problem. There is a very serious problem. The life of Paul was in contrast to the life that the Galatians were living. His life was different than the lives of most people. His life was a life of passion. He had a passion about something. His life was a life of zeal. It was a life of devotion. It was a life of courage. It was a life of strength, a life of great influence. It was a life that proved to be a blessing to the saints of God, and a life that proved to be a blessing to the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of life that Paul lived. What a shame it is for anybody to waste their life. How sad it is for anybody to live their life in an improper way. To live their life where they're not a blessing. To live their life, and when they're done living their life, basically nobody knows or even God, because they never did anything. But Paul lived his life in a very special way. He said, "The life that I now live." I ask you today to take a very close look at the life that you now live. Take a very honest look at the life that you now live. He said, "The life that I now live in the flesh," that's the only way you can live this life, "is in the flesh." We all have a certain amount of time to live this life. And we live this life in these bodies of flesh. And this life in these bodies of flesh is made up of seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. And the life that we are living in this flesh is fleeting. The seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years, they come, and then they are forever gone. Never again will you see them. They are forever gone. Never again can you relive those moments, those days, those weeks, those years. They are forever gone. Now, the life in the flesh consists of a lot of things. Life in the flesh consists of responsibilities, consists of privileges, consists of opportunities. We have many responsibilities in a lifetime. We have many privileges in a lifetime. We have many opportunities in a lifetime. In our life, it will consist of joys. It will consist of sorrows. There will be peace. There will be turmoil. There will be difficulties. There will be trials. It consists of times of calm. It consists of times of storm. Our life consists of thoughts. Our life consists of decisions. Our life consists of choices. Our life has motives. It has aims. It has goals. It consists of desires and pursuits, determinations, a variety of experiences. Consists of purposes and hopes and expectations. Our life in this flesh consists of friends. It also consists of enemies. Consists of family. Consists of relationships and of careers. As we live this life, there is a variety of emotions. There is a variety of feelings, consists of different places, consists of different conditions and circumstances. And on we could go what life consists of. But whatever your life consists of, you've got to live it. You've got to live it. Life must be lived. And we all live it a certain way. And Paul said, the life which I now live in the flesh. We are all living the lives that God has given us. We're all living that life in a particular way. Most of us are not going to change the way we live. I'm talking about adults. We've become accustomed to habits. We've become accustomed to ways, whether they be good or bad. Most adults are not going to change too drastically the way they conduct their lives. And in most cases, that's sad. Because in most cases, the ways need to be changed. But most will not. So we're all living our lives in a particular way. And the truth is, the way we live our lives largely depends upon our view of life. And it's pretty sad, the view that many of God's people have of life. It's pretty sad. I mean, their view really isn't much different than the world's view. And our view is going to determine to a great deal how we live our lives. What goes into shaping our lives has much to do with the way that we live our lives. So let's look at the focus of Paul's life. You see, we all have a life. We're all living that life. And life must have a purpose. We are all living with a purpose. Again, it could be a good purpose. It could be a bad purpose. But we're all living with a purpose. And we're all living with a supreme thing. There is something in our life that we are living for. There's something that is supreme in our life. We are living for something without which life would be pointless. What would it take today to make your life pointless? Because that's what you're living for. What would it take to make your life meaningless? You say, well, if I lost all my loved ones, it wouldn't be any point in going on. Well, that's not right. That's not right. The only way a child of God's life would be pointless would be if you lost the Lord. And that can't happen. So a child of God's life is never pointless. It's never without meaning. But notice three things that Paul said concerning the way that he lived his life. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, not I, but Christ. He's describing the way that he lives his life. He says, it's not I, but Christ. In other words, I was not the focus. I was not the purpose. I was not the supreme thing. The purpose, the supreme thing, was not his plans. It was not his will, nor was it even his enjoyment. He says, not I, but Christ. So, that's one description of his life. He says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me living is Christ, is what he's saying. But you can just take three words without doing any damage to the meaning. For me, Christ. And that's what he's saying. For me, Christ. Again, our life consists of many, many different things. But how many of us can say today, for me, Christ? That's what Paul is saying. He is saying, for me, Christ. What is it that controls your life? What is it that dominates your life? What is it that controls your way of living? What is it that controls or dominates your way of living? Paul said, for me, it's Christ. Christ controls my life. Christ dominates my life, is what Paul is saying when he says, for me to live is Christ. It's not the Michigan economy that controls and dominates your life, or it shouldn't be. For me, Christ. Whatever the economy is, whatever the conditions are, for me, Christ is what Paul is saying. What is the nature and object for which you live? Can you say, for me, Christ? What is it that gives your life real meaning? Paul says, for me, that's Christ. That's Christ. So consider all your interests, all your responsibilities, all your opportunities. And at the end of it all, Paul says, for me, Christ. That is, in all of my interests, for me, Christ. In all of my responsibilities, for me, Christ. Christ was everything in his life. Everything. And he was a blessing to the Lord's people. He was a blessing to the Lord's churches. And his life is still a blessing to you and I today. Because you put Christ first. You want to make a difference. If you want your life to count, if you want your life to make a difference in the lives of others and in the lives of the Lord's churches and in the lives and generations to come, for me, Christ. That's how you do it. For me, Christ. Life consists of decisions and choices. You cannot live your life without being faced with decisions, without being faced with choices. And in all of our decisions, in all of our choices, it should be, for me, Christ. For me, Christ. That is, every decision I make must center around Christ. Every choice I make must center around Christ. I must not make any decision. I must not make any choice that would draw me further away from Christ. For me, Christ. This is Paul describing his life. Again, our life consists of motives and aims and goals. And Paul says, for me, it's Christ. Our life consists of relationships. There's family relationships. There's relationships with friends. And so many times we've all seen it happen. Human relationships destroy one spiritually. People allow human relationships to divide them from the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said, for me it's Christ. In all earthly relationships, for me, Christ. That is, all earthly relationships center around Jesus Christ. He's the main thing. Our life consists of conditions and circumstances. And Paul says, for me, Christ. So what Paul is saying here is, no matter what happens, For me to live is Christ. The world says for me to live is wealth. For me to live is education or learning. For me to live is pleasure. For me to live is fame. For me, life is recognition. But Paul says, I do not know. I do not know what is going to happen next. I might live, I might die, but no matter what it is, it's not about wealth, it's not about pleasure, it is not about recognition. For me, it's all about Christ, is what Paul is saying. He says it doesn't matter what happens. Does not change my motive. It does not change what I'm living for, whatever happens. For me to live is Christ. So Paul describes his life, not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. For me, and then the third statement he makes there in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He's describing his life, the life which he now lives. He says, I live by confidence in Him. For me, it's all about Christ, he says. I am placing all of my confidence in Him. And if I'm going to starve, I will starve trusting Him. But I will place all of my confidence in Him. I'll tell you right now, I'd rather starve trusting Christ than starve trusting the economy. You're not going to starve trusting Christ. But Paul is saying, I live by confidence in Him. I live depending upon Him. I live leaning upon Him. I live resting upon Him. I'm cleaving to Him. I'm drawing from Him. I live by the faith of the Son of God. So that was Paul's life, described in three statements. Not I, but Christ. For me to live is Christ. And I live by the faith of the Son of God. So that brings us to our second point, and that is, what was it that shaped Paul's view of living life? We all have a view of life. We all have a view of how to live that life. And whatever our view of life is, whatever our view of living life consists of, something has brought us to that view. Something has shaped our view. So what does life mean to you and I? What does life mean? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be alive. I love life. At the same time, as you read on here in Philippians 1, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go also. But I want to stay as long as I can. But what is life? What does life mean to you? More importantly, since you have to live life, what does living life mean to you? What is living all about? The answer to those questions depends upon your view of life. We all have a point of view, as we've already said, concerning life. We all have a point of view concerning living life. And we all have a reason, whether good or bad, valid or invalid. There is a reason behind our point of view concerning living life. I know one thing, that children of God that are right with God are in a very, very minority in their view of how life should be lived. There aren't many people who think about living life like you and I do, because their view is different. Their view is different. Paul's life was centered upon Jesus Christ. But why? Why? What caused Paul to have that view of life? What caused Paul to center his life upon Christ? Well, his life was centered upon Christ because of who Jesus was. Notice in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul recognized Christ to be the Son of God. He recognized Christ to be God Himself. And his recognition of Christ caused him to have a different view of life. And I promise you tonight that what you think of Christ largely shapes your view of life. If you have a terrible view of life, you don't think much of Christ. You really don't. Paul's view of life was shaped by the fact that he knew who Jesus was. And when you know who Jesus is, that's going to change your view of life. The people that are sitting on the street corners and standing on the street corners high on drugs or drunk out of their skull, they do not think much of Christ. And they have a twisted view of life. They don't have the same view I have. They don't have the same view of Christ that we have. So our view of Christ makes a difference. Secondly, Paul's life was centered upon Christ because of Christ's love. Notice, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2, verse 20, who, which is the Son of God, loved me. Three words. Who loved me. The first word is who. The third word is me. So you have Christ, you have me, and what's in between the two? Love. Who loved me. That shaped Paul's view of life. Paul not only knew who Christ was, Paul knew Jesus Christ loves me. He lived in the wonder of that fact, that Jesus Christ loved him. I'm telling you, when you know, when there's no doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ loves you, that'll change your view of life. That'll change your view of the way that you live life. Just knowing that He loves me. Paul said, who loved me? And what was the reasonable conclusion of that? If Jesus Christ loves me, the reasonable conclusion is, not I, but Christ. For me to live is Christ. And I live by the faith of the Son of God. Why? Because of who He is and because He loves me. You see, that changes your whole view living. Changes your whole view of living life. Thirdly, Paul's life was centered upon Christ because Christ had given of himself. Notice, and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. It's not my life to do with it as I please. And the very second you realize that you've been bought with a price, the very moment you realize that your life is not yours, your view of life has changed. And the way you live life is going to change. You see, Paul knew that no matter what the circumstances were, that no matter what his location was, that no matter what his condition was, Paul knew, I am not my own. I have been bought. And that changes your entire view of living. I'm afraid there's a lot of people who have professed salvation who do not really know who Jesus is. You can tell because of the life they live. And they don't really know that Jesus loves them and has not sunk down into their very being. Because when it does, that will change your entire view of living. And then when you come to realize he gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. Three important words there. He for me. That'll change your view. When you realize he for me, that'll change your view of living. So he says, he gave himself for me. This led Paul to conclude, not I, but Christ. How can you come to any other conclusion? If Jesus Christ loved you and gave himself for you, how can you come to any other conclusion but not I, but Christ? How can you come to any other conclusion for me? How can you come to any other conclusion? I live by the faith of the Son of God. You see, when we realize that he gave himself for me, that changes our view of life. You get up in the morning and you think, he gave himself for me. You think about that all day long. He gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. And that changes your attitude toward any day. That changes the way that you live. So it led Paul to conclude, Christ gave himself for me. Therefore, Christ is my purpose for living. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Any other conclusion is unreasonable. Therefore, Christ is my very purpose for living. He is the very meaning of my life. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Therefore, Christ, Paul says, is what controls and dominates what I do. How sad it is when God's people allow the world to control and dominate what they do. It is Christ that loved you. It is Christ that gave himself for you. How can you allow the world to dominate your life? It is Christ. It's all about Christ. Paul said, because of this, Christ is the center of what I do. Because of this, Christ determines how I think. It's a sad day when the thinking of God's people is determined by the world's philosophies. It's a sad day. Christ loved me and gave himself for me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, we read in Philippians 2. Christ is the center of my interest, Paul is saying. He's saying Christ is what I seek. Christ is my passion. Christ is my goal. Christ is my aim. Christ is my law. How can you not want to obey the laws of Christ if he has saved your soul? How can you not want to? Amen. He is my law. He is my pattern. Another reason that Paul's life was centered upon Christ. Notice again Galatians 2 verse 20. Because Christ dwelt in him. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And then he explains what that means. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If Jesus Christ lives in your heart by the person of the Holy Spirit, don't tell me that won't change your view of life. It'll change it every single time. Every time. He says Christ, and notice that next word, liveth. He's not dormant. Christ liveth in me. Jesus Christ, who was pure, who was holy, lives in me. That means I'm going to have some interest in purity and in holiness. Jesus Christ, who was the perfect servant of God, Paul says, he lives in me. Don't tell me you don't have any interest in serving God if Christ lives in you. Christ is the perfect servant of God. If he's living in you, you're going to want to serve him. Christ, who always did the will of God, who was always diligent in the work of God, who always delighted in God and who always delighted in the service of God. He lives in me. That's going to shape my view of living. Christ, who was one with the Father, he lives in me. He lives in every child of God. So how can a child of God be completely swallowed up with the world's philosophies? Just a question. If Christ is dwelling in them, Jesus Christ, the very glory of God, the one who lived for the glory of God, Paul says, he lives in me. That's going to make a difference in the way that I live. If Jesus Christ lives in me, that's going to make a difference in the way that I think. It's going to make a difference in the way I view things. It's going to make a difference in everything when Christ lives in me. You see, this is what shaped Paul's life. One of the reasons Paul lived the life that he lived was because Christ lived in him. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. Also, Paul's life was centered upon Christ because Paul believed that he owed everything to Christ. I believe that also. I believe that I owe everything, my every breath, to Christ. I owe everything to him. I do not like, I do not enjoy losing friendships, but I owe everything to Christ. I don't owe everything to any person, but I owe everything to Christ. If that means that it's going to cost some friendships, and it will, we wish it didn't, but it does. I owe everything to him. And I don't want to ever lose sight of that. You see, Paul, just like you and I, was born in sin, lived a sinful life. And then one day, he was set free from the bondage of sin. One day he was set free from the bondage of Satan. And from the power of darkness, from the wrath to come. You know who it was that set him free? Christ. Same one who set us free. And Paul knew it's all because of Christ. Therefore, Paul didn't have any problem saying, "For me, Christ. For me, it's Christ." He had been forgiven. Was Christ who forgave him. Everything that he was as a child of God, and everything he possessed as a child of God, and everything that he would possess in eternity, is all because of Christ. It's true of you and I also. Today, people talk about going to heaven, and they live like the devil. And it doesn't seem to bother them. If you're on your way to heaven, I want to remind you tonight, it's all because of Christ. If you're on your way to heaven tonight, you better stop and thank him. And you must not forget, it's all because of him. It's all because of him. If you've ever passed from death unto life, if you've ever been reconciled to God, if you've ever been justified before God, if you've ever been forgiven, if you've ever been made a child of God, it's all because of Christ. And I believe Paul knew that. I think that's obvious from what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the reasonable conclusion of knowing that is simply this: not I, but Christ. The reasonable conclusion is for me to live is Christ. I don't expect the world to agree with it. But that's the way it is. Christ is everything. I don't expect my lost family to agree with it. I don't expect them to accept it. I don't expect them to be happy about it. Christ is everything. He's everything. Family sometimes will try to put you in a position, choose them or Christ. You shouldn't have to think twice about it. There's no decision to be made. It's Christ. You see, he's done everything for me. Everything I have is because of him. So for me, Paul says, Christ. So as you read through these two verses, and we'll close, it's easy to see that Jesus Christ had shaped Paul's view of life. So Some young people have, and I'm talking about those who profess to be saved, have allowed universities and so-called educators to warp their view of life. If you're truly saved, you need to get your eyes on Jesus Christ and have your view of life restored. And your reason for living restored. It's obvious as you read these verses, again, me and Christ, that there was a relationship between Paul and Christ. And I want you to know tonight, if you have a relationship with Christ, that will change your view of living. You can't have a relationship with Christ and adopt the world's views of living. A relationship with Christ will change your entire view of living. It's obvious that there was a connection between Paul and Christ. And this connection helped shape Paul's view of living life. It's obvious that there was an experience of Christ. Paul experienced Christ. You cannot experience Christ without being changed, without being forever changed. I'm not talking about a change that you get over in a couple weeks. I'm talking about a real life experience with Christ. It'll change your life forever. And it'll change your view of living. The very moment the Lord saved me, I began to think different. Before anyone sat down with me and opened the Word of God, I was thinking different. Because Christ was in me. And my whole view of life was beginning to change. Now, the more I learn, the more narrow that view becomes. Paul's pretty narrow here. For me, Christ. I mean, that's pretty narrow. That's pretty narrow. Don't make any apologies for being narrow. When it's me and Christ, when it's you and Christ, life is all about Christ. Things get pretty narrow. Things get broad when Christ is beginning to be pushed into the background. That's where the gray areas come in. Christ is being pushed into the background. But the more it's about Christ, it's black and white. It's right or wrong. It's very narrow. So your relationship, your connection, and your experience of Christ has a huge impact upon how you view living. I would ask you tonight, how do you view life? How do you view living your life? How is it that you live your life? Every one of us here tonight has a life to live. And every one of us is living that life right now. I ask you tonight, how are you living your life? Where does Christ fit in? You say, oh, Christ, he's predominant in my life. You see, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. And I believe that. He's predominant with a lot of folks here. That's not good enough. He needs to be preeminent. Preeminent. Not just predominant. Preeminent. Predominant means that sometimes, most of the time, he's number one, but sometimes he's not. Preeminent, he's number one. For me, Christ. Where does Christ fit in your life? And that will determine how you live your life. The truth is, the way you and I are living our lives tonight says loud and clear what we think of Christ, what we think of the Lord. Lord, help us to live our lives to the honor and glory of God, that we would learn more and more every day, not I, but Christ. For me, Christ. This will be another message, but that'll affect the way you vote. It'll affect everything. It'll affect what you read. It'll affect everything. For me, Christ. People say, well, we need to separate religion and politics. You can't. And I better be quiet. Brother Larry, you come and leave.